I once heard said that in terms of Sunday mornings, something in our culture had shifted. Something had changed for good. Once car dealerships in the American South, once those were open on Sunday morning, all had changed. Then you knew that we had entered something like a post-Christian era. That is, we had passed the point where the assumption, the expected, the cultural norm was Christianity. It had a pretty good run. The church held a preeminent place in Western society. It had been on top since Constantine in the 4th century. But that's been changing as church attendance lessened, soccer games started to sprout up. Then all of a sudden, even the car dealerships in the Bible Belt had open signs. The church has reacted slow to that change, trying to live into the future, but also grasping desperately to its past. It's an interesting transition, this shift between Sunday morning representing a time for church versus just another day of the week. This change will probably continue throughout our lifetimes at different paces and in different places in the world. This sermon is not a lament, though, and it's not an attack on our culture. I think we'll be fine. God has us. The palm of his hand, look around you. Besides, I was told countless of times going through seminary that this is actually a great opportunity with the mission field wide open. I was told a little too breathlessly, you and your peers get to be just like the early disciples. Today, All Saints Day, we get a glimpse of what it was like back before. We get a glimpse of the church, not as something to be expected or as something passed down biologically or institutionally, but as a choice, a decision, one that did not seem inevitable, but rather was guided by the Holy Spirit. Today, our baptismal candidates provide that for us. They are adults who are choosing against the trends to be a part of this world. They give us a glimpse back into what the early church was like, and also a glimpse forward into what the future will hold. First, let's go back. In the early church, adult baptism, rather than infant baptism, was the norm. This was because chances were that your parents were not Christian, because there were few Christians. In fact, we were a despised, persecuted sect. The decision to become one, to be baptized then, was not one taken lightly. With it came potentially the threat of physical danger and separation from your family. The instruction then for baptism was lengthy and difficult, a 3-year period of intense prayer and instruction that set you apart from the pagan world around you. All throughout those 3 years, those to be baptized would be excluded from the last portions of the service. That meant that they never saw the passing of the peace, the prayers of the people, most importantly, the Eucharist. Remember, there was no internet to look it up. People weren't literate, so they couldn't look it up in a book either. It was an utter mystery what took place here. So when it did happen, the baptized were astonished, this feeling of their eyes being opened to a new reality. In fact, it was so traumatic, it felt like they had died and been raised, that they had been reborn. This was the early experience of the church of all those saints that we celebrate today. During that time, somehow the church persisted, it thrived, survived. In the fourth century, it became Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, and then the dominant religious practice. Gradually, adult baptism became less and less frequent, as parents wanted to baptize their children at a young age. With Christianity as the default in the Western world, initiation became less of a choice, and more often, baptism was a social and cultural expectation. That pattern persisted more or less with lots of arguments in between for about a millennium and a half until about now. So, I was baptized as a child. My son was baptized as a child. I suspect a majority of us in this room were baptized as infants. I'm not denigrating infant baptism in any way. It's a different context, a different understanding, a different manner of, quote, entering into that glorious inheritance among the saints that our Ephesians reading talks about, that glorious inheritance among the saints. It all begs the question, though, what's going on in the sacrament of baptism? Again, I'd like to take a look at our baptismal candidates to give us a glimpse. The Shows came to this country not knowing anyone and not knowing the church. They first interacted with the Church of the Good Shepherd by taking English classes downstairs through our ESOL programs. They enrolled their son into the preschool here, while their eldest son got active in the youth group and acolyting. The family volunteered and participated in the various ministries here, eventually making the decision that their two young men should be baptized. All this time, they've been faithful members of the church, volunteering and helping out with various ministries for a few years now. So in the language of our service and in the canons of our church, baptism marks them as having joined. But clearly, in another sense, they've already done so. When does one become something? How will we ever fully understand the mystery of baptism? One way to look at it is to look at how you become your vocation. Think about when a doctor, for example, really becomes a doctor. Does that happen when they get their MD or when they finish med school? Does it happen when they treat their first patient? Does it happen when they lose their first patient? When exactly do they become a doctor? The same could be said for a lawyer, a soldier, for many other vocations, for a priest. Does a priest become a priest when the stole is laid upon him or her? Graduate seminary, preach your first sermon. The beauty of baptism is that it represents entry into the Christian life, entry into a Christian community. It happens in the ritual once and for all. But it's also the first step of many. In Frederick Buechner's words, salvation is a journey, not an event. It's this first step that there's a lifetime of renewing, turning, always seeking repentance and nourishment. This ongoing process that begins at baptism helps us to remind that God always has the initiative at whatever age of life, whatever age of history. God is the one prodding and pushing and pulling us into this life. In other words, our baptismal candidates, thanks be to God, and all of us, have found a place at the Church of the Good Shepherd, not out of our identity as sheep, but because of the Good Shepherd. That glorious inheritance comes from Christ and not from the church itself. On this All Saints' Day, in this baptismal celebration, we are reminded that we are continually journeying as a church and as individuals to enter into that process, to set ourselves apart as holy saints, and to fully live into the riches of that inheritance. Amen.